Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Box Office Breakdown. Information and commentary on weekly movie box office.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Talk Box Office Breakdown. I'm just going to tell you everything straight. We are probably going to spend most of today talking about Jurassic World, which I also am sorry because I will call it at least three times Jurassic Park. Keep doing it. Doing it all weekend. I am your host, Sarah Strutt, and I have with me, as usual,
JTE.
At Bob Finstock.
I don't think you're supposed to
I don't know what's happening.
You had a rough day. We played basketball for like 3 hours yesterday.
He's a little under the weather.
Yeah, I'm finding it cold a little bit. You know, but I think, you know, I just shot so many threes yesterday.
You did.
My body, I overexceeded my shot.
Yeah, we did. I played for the first time at 100%. You know, from my injury.
How did you have time for basketball when there was Game of Thrones, there was the NBA, there was Jurassic World? There was no time for basketball.
You got to be able to fit in basketball.
Yeah, we got there around noon. Yeah. You know, got to work out. Then just I laid back, watched the finals, watched Game of Thrones.
It was a great day yesterday.
It was. I won a game.
The only thing we didn't see was Sarah.
Yesterday.
The only thing we didn't see was Sarah.
Yeah.
Laying out in the park.
Was busy watching Game of Thrones.
That would have been the epicenter.
I was told there's a 90% chance you would be in the park.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I do visit the park.
It wasn't even from us. Some other guy said it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you guys, we are going to get into the numbers. We have our top five list later. We have games, so stay tuned. Let's start with number five, because we all know where this list is heading.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest surprise on the list, to me, Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah, it's
coming. It beat out Mad Max again, which dropped to number 7. Entourage even beat out Mad Max. This made me very sad. Pitch Perfect came in at almost $6 million, dropping only 21%.
Hmm.
That is the smallest drop on the top five, almost the top 10. Love and Mercy only dropped 17%. But 21% only. Then going up to number 4, going to Insidious Chapter 3, brought in $7.3 million, dropping almost 70%. Very typical for a horror movie.
Yeah, typical.
Going up to San Andreas, which dominated the box office just a little while ago, dropped 57% to $11 million. And then Spy dropping 45% to $16 million, leaving our number one at the box office taking record-breaking money in pretty much every category you can. Jurassic World, Universal bringing in the big bucks. It is now being reported as of today that it brought in $208.8 million domestic, which means that it tops Avengers, number one spot domestic opening. Just to rattle off a couple of its accomplishments. Yes, number one domestic opening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, number one international opening, bringing in over $500 million. That passes Harry Potter, a key point to that being that it already opened in China with $100 million. That is a key part of this record. Also, to bow down to Universal a little bit. Universal, who, if we remember, made a ton of money last year but didn't have any hits,
right,
now made the number one domestic opening to $1 billion, passing Paramount. So Paramount held the record, I believe it was for June, like the 22nd weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So they got it a weekend earlier. They also passed the international record to $3 billion, passing Fox, which their record was in at the end of June, around June 30th.
Yeah, you know, Universal is not doing too shabby. I mean, with Furious 7 and this,
And
Pitch Perfect.
And they have the Transformers. Or is that Paramount? That's Paramount.
It's Paramount, yeah.
Damn it.
Wow. It's insane. It's actually crazy. If you look at Universal, also, just for Universal, their previous record was Furious 7. Furious 7 opening was 147. Before that, Furious 6 with $97 million. So this is a huge opening year for them.
If you
look at the overall box office charts for 2015, we're at, I want to say already, a 5, and last year we were at, we ended the year at like 10.8, and we still have such huge movies to come. We predicted that the money was going to be huge this year. Not this huge. No one saw this coming.
This is going to do crazy. I mean, if this can do 210, Star Wars is going to do close to 300. Like, if that's even humanly possible.
Yeah. I got to get some scientists on that.
I would probably say 240 opening weekend for Star Wars.
It it has to be.
But look, we were all 4 for 5, but you won because you had 100.
20 something.
The crazy part about it, I mean, we were almost $100 million off.
Yeah, if you told me when I started the show I would one day be off by $100 million, I would have said no way.
I upped mine to 135 on the Thursday Schmo show, and I still thought I was crazy. But this is just astronomical. Look, here's
this
the deal,
is insane.
Though. Tracking numbers, right? The science of tracking goes as followed. In my opinion, you know, it's very easy to track movies that go to like 20 and 30 and 40. But when you start playing into the hundreds, anything's possible. And that's exactly what happened here. It's almost impossible to predict.
And just looking at the factors that go into this movie, yes, it is a franchise that has a legacy. It just has such tied to memorabilia. But this movie, compared to all the past, is insane. The last three movies opened to like 63 million, 73 million. Oh, wait, that is not correct. Hold on.
It's probably more than that.
Can I just say one thing about Universal while you look
delaying.
That up? I was talking earlier about like where do you take Fast 7 or Fast 8, and I said time travel.
Sure.
If that's ever going to happen, it's going to happen now. I think the Fast crew is going to time travel to the Jurassic times.
I love it.
They're going to be driving cars off the back of like T-Rexes.
Yeah, you can probably write the script right now.
Vin Diesel will have a fist fight with a Triceratops.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous.
And
that movie will make $1 billion opening
opening day.
Okay, well, this is my computer is frozen, so I can longer see the opening numbers
also,
the other ones have. Oh, what are you about to say?
But also, this movie is a four quadrant movie. Like it's this is a family film. Like say like, you know, when a sort of
this is a family film?
Big time. So it's a family
oriented.
There were a lot,
in my
there was a lot of families in the audience I saw with. Well, a lot of kids, a lot of little kids, and there's some violent stuff
this
in this movie.
Very violent.
But let me break this down for you. Like maybe like a low budget animation movie. The dad's going to be like, all right, sweetie, go take the young kids and go check this out. This is a movie where the dad goes, the mom goes, the 17-year-old kid goes, and the three youngsters go. And they even probably bring the grandfather and grandmother in. This is something something where you go to this kind of movie, and there's it's just a family-wide event. You're buying 9 tickets at a time when usually you're buying 4. And I think that's where the money comes in. You know, you go see the movie, you go to Red Lobster, you go play mini golf or something like that, and you have a nice day.
That you can have this more general audience is a good is obviously a key factor because when you look at it, yes, Chris Pratt is now A-list of the A-list. If you from Guardians to this, now he's rumored to possibly be taking on the Indiana Jones role. He's huge, and this came across very quickly. No one also predicted last year's Guardians opening to what it did, but he is probably carrying this movie. You look at who directed this film. Yes, people have been talking about how Steven Spielberg had possibly the final cut on this. But we have a director who, although he was rumored to have, he was one of the possible candidates for Star Wars 7, he hasn't had any huge hits. He has a short film. He has a critical darling that did well in festivals.
Safety not guaranteed.
Yeah. And then he got a screenwriting credit on this and was directed on this.
Here's what
that's
I think.
That's insane.
No, it's insanity. You know, there's a lot of producers on this thing, and a lot of people don't want to go out and get like a Michael Bay because they can't really control him. Now, Spielberg doesn't want to direct this thing, but he wants to have a lot of input. Now, if you get a high-profile director, they're not going to listen to anybody, even if it's Spielberg's. Be like, hey, this is my film. Sit back and shut up. Spielberg is the exec producer of this. He's a big winner of this because he gets 10% of the gross as the exec, and he's going to make his royalties on this will turn a third world country into a second world country.
But congrats to Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah, no,
good for
him. He gets to say that his first like big budget film crashed every record ever.
He'll work forever now.
I'm really, and you know, when it comes to box office, I'm really curious to see how this holds up on the second week. I think word of mouth is going to propel it from this point. I mean, because now it's what everyone's talking about. But the cinema score is also like an A minus.
Cinema score is about like an A minus. Audience review is, I want to say, at like an 85 on Rotten Tomatoes, which is similar to maybe 86. It's really close to Furious 7 audience review. The critical reception is lower than Furious 7. It's not horrible. It's 70%. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's true. I saw this movie this weekend, was on the edge of my seat, thought it was really fun to experience. Mm-hmm. I also was forced to see it in 3D because all of the non-3D ones were sold out. Mm. Saw it in 3D, thought it looked great, was really fun, but I didn't come out being like, everyone, you need to see this movie. Mm. It is a masterpiece for this, yada, yada, yada. I said, I have fun. If people really want to go see it, yeah, go see it. I'm not putting it down as an incredible new story arc or something I've never seen before, but it was fun, it was gripping, it was suspenseful. There were points where I was actually scared for the characters, which is something you kind of hope for. At least for me, I hate when you can tell that a character is not going to die because you need mm-hmm. them for some reason.
Yeah.
In this movie, there were points where I was like, oh, we could lose a lot of these people. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Vincent D'Onofrio is the best.
I agree with you. I saw it a week ago. Mm-hmm. Then I saw it again this weekend because I just wanted to see it with, you know, a regular audience. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a fun movie. But I wasn't like, when I came out of Mad Max Fury Road, I was screaming off the mountaintops, everyone go see this movie. Which... Yeah, I saw it again after I saw Jurassic World. I theater hopped into Mad Max again.
Okay, Jurassic World, what you have to give it though, pacing and suspense is great.
Mm-hmm. I think the first hour is a little slow at times, and I think the last half is definitely picks it up.
I think that you need the slowness though, because one of the qualities that this gives is the attraction to, they show you different rides mm-hmm. and different attractions, yeah. and that goes to why it feels a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. But that wonder that you have to build, because you don't have the awe of the opening shot.
It's weird though, because the main villain of this movie, the main dinosaur, he breaks out pretty quickly in the film. It's like the first 25-30 minutes he's loose, and then he's just kind of making his way. It's not until the last 30 to 40 minutes where it really, once the park gets under attack, that's when it really shifts gear.
See, but this is what you have to say. We are totally spoiling this movie, so, and we probably will continue, so if you don't hate us already,
everyone already saw it.
But on top of that, this is my contradiction to that. They needed all that time for it to get free, because if you told me that you were keeping the most dangerous dinosaur closest to the people and not mm-hmm. on the other side of the giant island, I would have been furious. Like, there are so many things that the characters do that I'm like, why'd you do that? But if that was a whole nother plot, like, I needed to see it go across. I needed to see the build. So I was personally fine with that. Sorry, we are totally now going into the critical analysis of this movie instead of the numbers.
What's the CGI of it?
I was a little disappointed.
It was questionable at times.
Here's the thing. When you watch original Jurassic Park, you feel like you're seeing real dinosaurs half the time. Mm-hmm. You feel like, holy crap, that's a real T-Rex. At no point in this movie did I ever feel like I saw a real dinosaur. I was always aware it was CG. Mm-hmm. I think there's one scene where a dinosaur kind of bites the dust. It's a close-up. It's a little mm-hmm. touching scene, and it's honestly animatronic. But everything else, I was like, that's CG. And I love how Spielberg, if you watch older films, it's really kind of a 50-50. Anytime it's a close-up, and mm-hmm. Spielberg also did a great job making sure the dinosaurs interact with the humans. Like, the T-Rex would, you know, blow air out of his nostril and knock the hat off of Sam mm-hmm. Neill. Mm-hmm. This movie doesn't really have that. It really relies on CG, and I was a little disappointed with that.
Okay.
Did the dinosaurs, like, communicate like the apes in Planet of the Apes?
The raptors have this weird, like, dolphin kind
of... Yeah, they do. They have some sort of communication.
Yeah.
Throwing it back to the numbers, someone else who gets to brag besides Steven Spielberg, besides Colin, mm-hmm. is, I think, Miss Howard, who now... Miss mm. Bryce Dallas,
oh, Howard, Bryce Dallas
who
Howard.
Now gets to go back to the dinner table with her father, Ron yeah. Howard, yep. and say that my movie beat all of your movies.
Yeah, she was exiled to the kids' table after Lady in the Water.
Yeah.
And then exiled into almost obscurity.
And she was in Spider-Man 3. That was like her first role as Gwen Stacy. And that kind of did huge numbers, but a lot of people looked down at that movie. Yeah. She's had an interesting career. I'm trying to remember what else was she been in? Oh, she was in The Help.
She was in The
That's
Help.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's in this movie, and She's talented. Ron Howard's huge. He's a certified genius, and she just beat all of his movies, at least money wise.
So that should
be some interesting dinner discussion. Yeah. Let's get into our international numbers because it's more on Jurassic World.
Oh yeah,
Jurassic World made $307.2 million overseas for a total gross of $511.8 million worldwide, which is the highest global bill in history. Wow, we already established this.
That's just unbelievable.
But it is the first film to have ever grossed more than $500 million in one weekend.
Yeah, that's half a billion in a weekend is insane.
It's just
absolutely crazy. The foreign box office is the second highest, but I think it's now been changed. I think we might have to look into it because it's just breaking every record. I want to find out the actuals. It says right now, and this was printed yesterday, Jurassic World's foreign box office is the second highest international opening in history behind Warner Brothers, Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
I want to really look into that because of the China opening of $100 million.
Yeah.
But we will check. Good job, Universal. It's insane. You beat your own record with Furious 7, which was already a huge pat on the back. I think that they just are in a constant party
They're having a blast over there. You know, the thing is, I mean, now Jurassic World, I would probably predict going probably $1.7 billion, you know, because usually it's like $700 or $650, you know, foreign, another $350 domestic. I think you're going to see Jurassic World crack. It's going to do Avengers money. It's going to do like $450 million at domestic.
It has the start for it. It's going to do fantastic. So we have spent all of our time talking about the box office, talking about the international on Jurassic World. Next week, we will be back to talk a little bit more about other movies. But for all of the rewards it got for everyone who went out and saw it this weekend, we had to focus on that.
I think you even still do. I mean,
when something breaks the record for opening weekend and international, and again, like we said on the top of the show, none of us predicted that. Nobody predicted that.
No.
I just wonder if it was like, I mean, the last Jurassic Park movie was pretty much shunned as a horrible movie.
Terrible.
Jurassic Park 3, it is known as easily the worst.
Yeah. Jurassic Park 3, domestic gross overall was $181.17185.
Yeah, they smacked that by Saturday afternoon.
The weekend.
Yeah.
Beat the entire domestic gross of Jurassic Park 3.
And Part 2 was also, it did huge numbers, but as far as quality of the film, it wasn't looked as good as the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, like Jurassic World, I think it's better than 2 and 3 as far as like where I'm going to rank them in this series.
The first one, this
one doesn't even come close to the first movie in my eyes. Okay. And I think a lot of times this new one relies on nostalgia to kind of get you.
I mean,
the first movie has such great moments that are iconic in filmmaking. And this movie, while a very enjoyable summer film, doesn't have any iconic moments.
I agree. I think the iconic moments from this Jurassic World are just references to the past movies.
Exactly.
But that's its own thing.
But playing people love on dinosaurs.
Nostalgia, playing
that
on Chris Pratt, on Steven Spielberg, on the
summertime, on perfect
summertime
timing,
as
perfect
using
storm.
Multiple age groups and people to go see this.
Yeah, there hasn't been dinosaurs in a movie in a long time.
Why it makes money? I don't think it still makes sense why it made this much money.
Yeah,
I still think it's weird.
I mean, even industry experts had this thing at like 120, 125. And then when Friday night came around, they're like, holy shit, we better switch this up to about 200.
And I mean, just look at the marketing ploy. Some people were, it wasn't like they came out with this trailer that everyone in the world was like, this looks amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Half the people were split on the trailer. You had people saying it was cheesy. You had people saying that you could see the CGI already. It wasn't something that there was all of this hype about. It wasn't even something that there was critical hype about.
No, the first,
it was something that the hype has come from how much money it has made.
The first Super Bowl trailer, everybody was like, oh my God, this looks terrible. They did some work. They probably did some reshoots or something along those lines. And they're probably like, well, let's put this out. And this is exactly what happened. And it's just, it's a phenomenal result.
The one thing this movie had that you never saw in the past movies, you always heard about the park. You always heard Jurassic Park was, they were going to open a park.
Mm-hmm.
First one, they bring people in. 2 and 3, it's just a desert island with a bunch of dinosaurs.
It's terrible.
This one had that, you know, notion of we're going to show you actual working Park. Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. And I think to me, that was one of the biggest draws for me. Mm-hmm. Right. I think maybe for most people, because it's almost like you're going to that park.
Yeah, it's like SeaWorld.
Yeah, it's like SeaWorld. Not really. And so they did give you something you haven't seen before. It just wasn't as groundbreaking as the first time Spielberg showed his dinosaurs.
Right.
Agreed. And
which
agreed.
Which is amazing. I mean, obviously, he knows how to do animatronics. He did mm-hmm. Jaws, and that looked real as shit, too.
Yeah, still looks
but,
good.
But, you know, it's the best dinosaur movie since Theodore Rex.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that
we're not, no.
That Whoopi Goldberg classic.
We're not talking about Theodore Rex.
You guys okay. gotta see it.
We're going to remake that movie, but with you instead of Whoopi.
Yeah, it's going to be
and
amazing.
And I'll be in the T-Rex rubber suit.
Sarah and it'll be amazing. Interest, and it'll be really
I mean,
fun.
I, no. was, I tweeted out the other day. You're running a script in Hollywood right now. Put dinosaurs in it.
Yep. Absolutely.
And you'll get a look.
Yeah.
Studio will take a look. It's about dinosaurs. Bring it in.
Even a fake one.
Yeah. I don't
even like a dinosaur guys, like stuffed puppet.
We're leaving this bit behind, and we're going to move on to the international numbers game.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Is it dinosaur themed?
It is. Wait till we get the. I'll tell you once the music kicks.
Oh yeah. I'm sick. We'll keep doing it.
Set a stone because it's time for the international title game.
That was a tough one. That was like Jordan with the flu during a game. Just I was struggling through the whole thing.
Was he? But did you see him?
I tell you.
Were you stretching, or is this your new
shooter's elbow?
Oh, I black out. So I don't know what's going on around me.
I thought that was
I
your
that.
Version of dancing.
No, I'm better than that. I was shooting NBA range three-pointers yesterday.
Whatever.
Like 30 of them.
All right. Well, what is our theme? Do we have a theme?
Prepared? There is a theme. It's Jurassic Park world themed. And sort of like the star of that one and sort of what Chris Pratt was doing back now is what this guy was doing when he was in Independence Day. Jurassic Park,
Goldblum,
a couple other big like kind of mm-hmm. movies like this, and it is Jeff Goldblum.
Okay,
I wish he was in this movie. By the way,
Jeff should have been. Maybe he was one of the animatronic dinosaurs, or maybe he had his gig over there. He does.
Please continue.
Okay,
let's go.
There's a movie called Igby Goes Down.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a real movie.
It was
with Macaulay Culkin's brother.
Macaulay Culkin's brother, Jeff Goldblum.
Okay.
It was like a bunch of spoiled rotten kids
Igby.
Running the Igby.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. It's called Play It Cool, Spoiled Rotten. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of like Manhattan.
No, that makes sense. It's a bunch of spoiled kids in like a private school.
Independence Day 2, which hasn't been released yet, but it has a title in China. ID Interstellar Terminator 2.
Interstellar Terminator. I like mm-hmm. that.
They use Interstellar a lot for like space stuff.
Gotcha.
Powder.
Oh, yeah,
You know about
the albino kid.
The albino kid, yeah. Lightning Miracle Boy.
Okay.
Okay. And then there's another one. It's probably, it's a good movie, but no one's probably ever heard of it. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Of course, with John Lithgow,
Yeah, exactly. Anti-Union Violence Warrior.
That movie's insane, by the way.
Yes,
that movie sounds as crazy as its title.
It's unbelievable. So Igby goes down.
List them off one more time. Yeah.
Igby Goes Down. Play It Cool. Spoiled Rotten. Independence Day 2. ID. Interstellar Terminator. Deuce, also known as 2. Powder. The albino kid who was running around.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning. Miracle Boy. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. Anti-Union Violence Warrior.
Number one. Number one. I don't think that... I think spoiled rotten is an American phrase.
That's a good point.
It's mm-hmm. fair.
I'm going to go with 4.
Anti-Union Violence Warrior?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know what that is.
I'll go
is
with
either,
4.
What about Angel?
I'll go with the Lightning Miracle Boy.
Ooh.
Mm. Powder.
Okay.
That's very interesting.
Did someone get it right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a woman who...
did I get one?
Yeah, Sarah did get it. Spoiler
I
rotten
never
is...
Win.
Yeah, it's not...
It's just the week of miracles.
Yeah, that's not Chinese
Jurassic
culture.
World and me.
Yeah. Play Cool, Spoil Rotten. It's called like something... Like, it's like Play Cool, like... A bunch of idiots or something like that.
Should make a movie called Sarah Park.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sarah Park.
Yeah. She could be hanging out. They love her in China.
I'm not going to even comment on
Congratulations.
That. I'm just happy that I won.
Well done.
All
well
right. done. Thank
I'm blaming it on my sickness.
You're going to blame it on your sickness?
I'm not 100%.
You know what? No, I'm going to gloat in my victory. And we're going to move on to our top five lists starring on Chris Pratt, as everything else seems to be going towards.
Yeah, he's having a good life.
He is having, you could almost say he's having a good year.
Yeah,
well, yeah, no, yeah. I'd
Guardians.
Say
life. He has a wonderful life. People
some people
love
have a good couple of hours. They hook
shows,
up with a hot
from,
chick.
He has a steady relationship. All these things. He has a wonderful life. But this past year for him has just been earth shattering.
It's unbelievable. He started off in Parks and Rec and just took off from there.
I know. And he married Anna Faris, so, and she was the movie star at that point. Yeah. And now he's like the movie star.
And he's like shredded. He has a zillion dollars. He gets free motorcycles from people.
We were talking about this after seeing Jurassic World, my friends and I, about like who the biggest movie stars ever and in the world are. And Chris Pratt has the potential of beating some of our like most beloved people.
Let me ask you this though: did you really like him in Jurassic World?
Yes, I did.
I thought he was fine, but like he stood out to me more in Guardians. Like he kind of carried that movie for me. Whereas this one, I was like
Guardians. He had more acting.
Yeah, he was doing more. He's not the charismatic, funny guy he usually is. He played much more straight, even though he did have a few jokes. But I wasn't like leaving that movie like, man, Chris Pratt killed it.
I really liked Chris
Pratt.
I
mean, if this guy gets Indiana Jones,
I liked him better than Bryce Howard. By far.
If he gets Indiana Jones, he might have a shot to be the top box office guy ever.
For me, the performances in Jurassic World overall weren't great. They were all solid. I think Jake Johnson was great as a comedic side character. Vincent D'Onofrio, who I like, was a little over the top.
He's Wilson Fisk. He always is. Wilson.
None of the performances in the movie really stick out.
I thought that Chris Pratt did a great job. I thought he did better than Bryce.
I wish you saw this movie so you could agree with one.
Just say you would agree with me.
I will. I agree with anything Sarah says. But I'd rather watch Theodore Rex for
sure.
Well,
let's just talk about his top five list because this is going... It's going to be hard. We make lists based on taking out franchises. As of now, we can't really make his list without taking out at least the start of what could be.
Well, I think because he's so early in his career, we got to make a session this time.
He is also, he's supposed to come out with, what is that movie he's supposedly casted with Jennifer Lawrence, huge script on the blacklist.
Oh, yeah, it's another one.
Not Prisoner.
No, not Prisoner.
Starts with a P.
I haven't heard of this.
With
Jennifer Lawrence?
I will Google it for you.
Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, he's done a lot of supporting roles, like... I remember him in the 5-year engagement.
Yep.
He was in that movie Topher Grace did that took place in the 80s.
Yeah, Take Me Home Tonight.
Take Me Home Tonight.
He was in Her.
Yeah, he was in Her. Yeah, great supporting role. And I mainly know him from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, of course.
The first time I saw him like out of his element was Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah,
correct. Where he plays a Marine with a few words, but I was like, wow, this guy can play a badass.
And we are not including that on his list because he has so few words.
You have to have more than like 7 minutes
of
screen time or something like that.
Let's start with the bottom one on his list, which was Bride Wars. Fox in 2009.
Anne Hathaway.
It made about, I have two numbers here. We'll go with the first one, $66 million.
Yeah, that's inflated money probably.
Inflated. And we don't even like, that's not something I think we... that's not a movie that I recognize him with.
No. Yeah, no, personally. I mean, again, probably one of his supporting roles. What was that? Anne Hathaway and
Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson,
a horrible relationship on set because Kate likes to get hammered. And Anne Hathaway, all she does is like to marry like guys who embezzle money off poor people.
That's right.
All right.
I remember that.
Number four on the list going to Moneyball. Made by Sony, $78 million back in 2011.
Yeah, Chris Pratt. He basically, they didn't want him for the role because they're like, you're too fat. He was like a little overweight. He went on some like kind of crash diet. They couldn't find anybody. He sent a picture, a Polaroid picture of himself, like shredded down to agents, sent it right to the cat who directed it. And they're like, he's our guy now. We liked him before, but he just wasn't, he didn't have the baseball player physique.
I love this movie, first of all. It was one of my favorite films that year.
Great movie.
When I saw it, I didn't know who Chris Pratt was. And it's so funny now when someone becomes as famous as he is now, and you go back and you watch these movies you love, and you see these great actors who are huge A-list now, and these supporting roles, And I just get a kick out of that. Like, I remember watching, like, Downey Jr. when he blew up with Iron Man. You go back and you watch his old 80s, 90s movies. So much fun.
So that was Moneyball. We're leaving out Zero Dark 30 and Wanted, and we're skipping to Jurassic World,
which is going to be number one.
2 weeks will be number one.
Great job. Going to number two, the Lego Movie.
Yeah.
Forcing came out just last year as well, February.
You know what's hard to believe about that movie? It was Morgan Freeman's first animated movie.
Really?
Out of all these years, that he was the first one. And he also thinks that the Batman in the Lego Movie was the best portrayal of Batman on any format. I think that might be a shot at Christian Bale. I'm not really sure. But that being said, I mean, I don't know what he's talking about. Adam West is the real one, so.
And number one on the list, the star maker, Guardians of the Galaxy, of course, last year.
That was the breakout.
A-list movie star. His list is definitely growing. We are going to see so many franchise movies. Mm-hmm. The fact that I think you could argue in another year, his like top five are all going to be over $150 million dollar movies.
Well, Guardians 2, and he's already attached to more Jurassic.
Mm-hmm. And just to give you the update on what the movie about what started, he was, it's Passengers.
Oh, there you go.
Passengers. It was on the blacklist. It's the only two people who are rumored or said to be in it are Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. And it is supposed to be a spacecraft is transporting thousands of people to a distant colony planet. There's a malfunction in one of its sleep chambers. As a result, a single passenger is awakened 90 years before anyone else. Faced with the prospect of growing old and dying alone, he eventually decides to wake up a second passenger.
That's a lot of money.
That's very interesting. It's funny because he's hitting this A-list blockbuster territory.
Mm-hmm.
Is he eventually going to make that move to the Oscars? Is he going to try to start chasing that golden statue? Because, I mean, Downey Jr.'s tried doing it.
Yeah.
You know, once you, Will Smith eventually did it, Tom Cruise even did it. I mean, like, once you become a big Hollywood moneymaker, eventually you kind of just go towards that.
I'm interested to see the take they do with Passengers, because yes, it is sci-fi, it is space, that is huge, but it's intimate space.
True.
It's two people, like Solaris. It's a mental journey.
Yeah.
Signed on to direct, supposedly, is, I'm pronouncing this wrong, but it's Morton Tilden, who did The Imitation Game, is a dramatic push.
There's like two Guardian.
Jennifer Lawrence, always signing up with the...
She's always got it. There's two little Guardian facts that I have. You know, the Rocket Raccoon, okay?
Bradley Cooper.
Was modeled after
a raccoon?
A real one, yeah. Living, a rabid one, living in the UK, named Oreo.
Wait, he was rabid?
I took care of baby raccoons before.
He was a rabid
did
raccoon.
They put him down?
They purr like
no,
kittens.
No, they left him in because he was so eccentric. They're like, let's see where this, the rabies goes with him. He was like infected bad. His name is Oreo.
Can I tell a quick story from my childhood?
Yeah,
sure. Is it about raccoons?
Yeah.
If it's bad, I'm going to cut you off, but go ahead.
It's really good. I was walking under the railroad tracks near my old neighborhood, and there was a water drain, like a sewer drain, and then this downpour came down. Like, I'm talking like downpour, Connecticut. And all of a sudden, water starts shooing out of this pipe like just crazy, causing this little, like almost a little river along the tracks. And this raccoon comes flying out, like he's on a water slide.
Really?
And he's going off in the current, and I grab a giant branch, and I like reached it out, and he climbed on the branch. Yeah, and he made it onto the land and just ran away.
JTE's story of heroism.
That is the best story.
Is that the best story?
JTE, raccoon rescuer, coming to like the Disney Channel. Next week. I'll film it tomorrow.
Pretty amazing, though. Like, that's amazing. Put a branch out and help another species.
That's, I am, you know, my respect level for you was here. Now it's reached, out of the stratosphere now.
I still remember it to this day, and I was like 12.
It was a good story.
Dang it.
Thank you. we are now going to move on to our upcoming films.
All right.
Let's talk about a little bit about Pixar, a household favorite.
Moneymaker.
Coming out with Inside Out.
Mm-hmm.
Animated feature getting a lot of critical buzz.
It's 100%.
It has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. I have met a lot of people who have seen it and say that this is taking Pixar movies to another level. Well, whether that is making it more appealing for adults than for kids is my biggest question. It also looks slightly depressing.
It's being touted as the return of Pixar because they've had last couple films have not been good or critically received very well. Sure, they made okay money, but like this is being billed as like in the level of Finding Nemo.
Yeah,
you know, Incredibles. Those up the movies question that were just
is,
killing it.
The question is, does it give Jurassic World a run for its money next week? That's the big deal.
Here's the thing: even if Jurassic World drops 50%, you're at 100. It's probably going to drop closer to 60. So I just don't know if Pixar can make
apparently
90 million opening weekend.
Well, apparently what happened with this movie, Scott Mann saw it at a screening.
Okay.
And after it ended, he like ran up to the screen and like kissed the screen like in true cocaine donkey style.
Did he really? Yeah. You like that much?
I've heard a lot of critics really love it. My question, though, is this is a Pixar movie. It's supposed to hit every genre. You were supposed to bring your kids to it. And it's a little bit worrisome to me that the critics love this much.
It looks
because that implies, like, think about it. There's normally a 10-15 meter difference between like critical response and audience response. Mm-hmm. And I think this could be one of the chances where critical response is higher than audience response.
Well, for me, the premise is really what kind of might draw the parents in more than the kids because the kids just see the cute. Like, you know, different emotions. The parents see the scenes where it's like the mother and the father have their own thing. So you're getting the kids in there just because it's Pixar. Mm-hmm. And you're getting a lot of adults because of the concept and they remember Herman's Head from Fox TV in the 90s.
That's correct.
Yeah. This is an amazing show.
That's great.
Well,
Do you remember Herman's Head, Sarah?
No. I do know, like, this is... It's also like an acting theory, these exact emotions. Like, it's an acting exercise.
Yeah, this is going to be a very interesting movie. I think it might be a little too complex for children, but we'll see.
That is my question. I'm very interested to see it, but Inside Out is coming out this weekend. We also have... I only have three on this list, but there should be four.
Maybe you want to flip the page.
Am I going to flip the page? No. There's four. I have four.
Yeah.
But there should be five.
What was the fifth one you're thinking of?
Ruffalo. Polar Bear.
Oh, yeah, Polar Bear Express.
No.
That's the time actually. Yeah.
We'll start with what we have. We got Dope. Which is Dope. It is a nation.
Critical Darling.
One release. Mm-hmm. Critical Darling. I'm surprised it didn't go limited first.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody who's seeing movies are everybody who's in this movie right now. Like Latinos, young African Americans. I think that's why. I mean, they paid, I think. Open Road paid $7 million for this and would have promised to put $20 million into P&A. Mm-hmm. And for only a $1 million movie. I think they'll recoup this money back. I think this opens pretty well. I think it's catching strong. I think, you know, Straight Outta Compton's coming out soon, this and that. You got like this kid from Compton. It's a coming-of-age story. The Duff did really well.
Coming-of-age story, Critical Darling. It looks like it has a really cool style to
it. Yeah, it's got a lot of young rappers. You got Pharrell producing. You got Puffy producing. Zoe
looks
Kravitz.
Very, very interesting. All right, next we are going to move on to Manglehorn.
Al Pacino.
He just came out with Danny Collins recently.
Which was good.
He also did The Humbling, which came out last year.
Yep.
Now he is coming out with this movie Manglehorn, which I don't know. Looks a little strange to me. The cover, if you haven't seen the poster for it, it's Danny Collins with like this weird like poofy cat.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, Al, you know, let's not forget Al's one of the best actors of all time.
Yeah.
He forgot how to act for like about 20-year span. But Danny Collins was great. Spectre was good. Spectre, where he played Phil Spector.
It was HBO.
It was really good. You know, what's curious is this: it's this David Gordon Green, whatever his name is, who's Eastbound and Down fame, Pineapple Express. That comes from that. Danny,
Your Highness.
Yeah,
that exactly. wasn't quite. The
which well, was terrible. I'm curious, and I'm curious to see what he can do with this kind of movie. I heard it's
opening in three theaters. We're not going to be seeing any numbers of it for it unless it really, really catches on. With everything that's going on and coming out, I don't think people are really going to be seeking out this movie.
Yeah,
especially after just Danny
unless
Collins
it does really good
out.
In those three screenings, then it might. Reach out. It's probably a VOD type thing.
And they should release it same day VOD. Yeah.
Also coming out is going to be The Overnight.
Yes. Adam Scott, Taylor Schilling.
Very excited.
Jason Schwartzman.
Documentary.
No, it's not a documentary.
It's about a couple that I believe moves to LA, mm-hmm. and their neighbors invite them over for an overnight.
Yeah,
and it turns to a sexual escapade. And I
yeah, and they have like a penis growing contest, and Jason Schwartzman like wins because it like his like wraps around his back. I heard it's just unbelievable.
I've not
stuff.
Heard of this movie.
It's a
at
very
all.
It's a very out there kind of crazy movie. Definitely sexual. Very lot of nudity.
Yeah, we're not talking
about Adam Scott and his wife are like this really like, you know, kind of wholesome couple. And they go into this, you know, they go, it's the typical thing where they go in, everybody seems wholesome, and then you know, to get a couple of drinks in, next thing you know, sex dungeons, 50 Shades of Grey, and you know, whacked
but
out
it's
stuff
a
starts happening.
It's a comedy. It's a sex comedy.
But it's like for adults. Not a sex comedy for like younger kids.
And I think the cast is really what's going to bring a lot of people in, because Adam Scott, I think, is great. I think Taylor Schilling from Orange is Black is really good. Jason Schwartzman has also really good, especially when it comes to like independent type films. Mm-hmm. I think it just has a great cast, and it was actually got rave reviews from a lot of festivals just for being out there. So out there. It's not a conventional movie.
Well, basically,
Sarah, you don't seem impressed.
I'm not impressed.
Why is
there
that?
Are so many
that's
things
do you think that's a good cast?
See.
You know what? I'll get this on screener. We'll all watch it.
We'll do a screening party.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to the movie that was not included on this list, but we should be talking about.
Oh, we got the overnight.
Is the Infinity Polar Bear, which is what I'm talking about.
No wonder I didn't put it on the list.
You don't know what it is?
That's like Mark
Ruffalo.
Is
it like a Disney? And Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
And
he's going
through some sort of, I think it's a bipolar episode.
Bipolar disorder,
and he has two kids, and it's like a mixed race family. It's been interesting because they have Mark Ruffalo and Zoe Saldana have been making appearances to promote.
Yeah, raise awareness.
This awareness. Raise awareness about this movie.
Is there a polar bear?
And
Mark Ruffalo sees polar bears in this.
Oh,
or
okay.
Something. But it's like their press tour has turned into personal press tours for each of them. Like,
why?
For instance, I saw the Mark Ruffalo one, and it got really turned into, which is a good thing, about his charity.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
a lot of his interviews for Infinity Polar Bear have been kind of transitioned more towards the charity he's part of. Zoe Saldana's interviews have been positioned more about this whole gossip about her husband taking her last name.
That's bullshit.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Jimmy Kimmel.
This is on the press tour for Infinity Polar Bear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just turning into a personal interviews versus press.
Would
in
you
my
let
opinion.
Your husband take your last name?
I'm not getting rid of my last name ever. So,
no, that's fine. That's fine. But when a guy takes a girl's name, well, you know what?
I think I would.
It's also
JTE Stritten.
No problem.
You know what? For a couple of million bucks, I would. Yeah, I'd be like, I don't care.
Zoe Saldana, she's awesome. And also, just to make it clear, I think it's also, they've been pointing it as he took her name, but they've hyphenated their names. And he's added her name in the hyphen
as
well.
Yeah, his first name, Jackoff, last name, Saldana.
No.
So you wouldn't ever take...
I mean, she pointed out, too. Zoe Saldana made a great point in saying that she doesn't understand why this is news. I mean, we are talking about it now
because
it becomes such a big deal. But she's like, you've never heard of a woman taking someone's last name and that becoming news, but this is becoming news.
Yeah.
But all of this is for Infinity Polar Bear, or was supposed to be. It's just totally gone by the wayside, probably because they have such a hard-to-remember title.
Yeah.
It's understandable. I would take Spicy Lucy's last name.
Yeah.
Heartbeat.
I think her name's Hernandez.
JTE
so
Hernandez.
So these are our upcoming movies. So now we can better make some predictions. Going into next week.
This is
going
to be tough.
And then we'll take some callers, guys. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting weekend. New releases, mm-hmm. the only ones being on nationwide or over 3,000 screens are Dope and Inside Out. So we probably don't need to talk much about what Manglehorn's going to do.
What are we talking about? Manglehorn's going to do 40 million.
In three theaters, it's going to
cuts
play
in 1 week.
On
Manglehorn
every single 40 screen.
Million
beats Jurassic World.
No, we only have two upcomings into the wide release. And then, of course, everything that's already in theaters.
Well, you won last week, Hot Shot.
Yeah,
why don't
so
you go first?
You start off.
Okay.
I don't think Sarah started off in a while.
She won by default.
I don't like to start off because I
start
off
you
everything.
Liked, yeah, yeah.
All right, let's start with obvious. I'm going with Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
And,
really?
Jurassic World.
Are they reissuing
Why
Jurassic
do I
Park?
Keep doing that?
You got JT
Jurassic
syndrome.
World. What?
JT. You know?
Is he not going to do that?
No, no. Well, no, he'll probably call Jurassic something else.
I called Jurassic World Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
80 times.
It's fine.
I can't help it.
Everybody knows what you're talking about. It's like me, Earl, and the dead girl.
All right,
which was good.
But yeah. Jurassic World is going to hold on to its number one spot. Then we are going to see Inside Out, mm-hmm. bringing in probably, I think it's still going to bring in high. I think it's going to bring in like 60 million,
okay.
which is high because so much of that I think is going to go to Jurassic World. But mm-hmm. I think it'll keep it. Number three, I'm giving it to Dope.
Mm.
I think that it's going to have.
High, huh? Mm. Okay.
What is it competing against? Spy made 16 million. Mm-hmm. I think Dope at a nationwide release is going to make more than if it drops another 40 to mm-hmm. 10 million, it's going to make more than Spy.
Sure.
So Jurassic World, Inside Out, Dope. Then I will go down to Spy.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where, and I'll keep it with San Andreas.
It's not a bad top five.
That not is my top five.
Not bad at all.
I went first.
Please. I'll go second.
Hey, go ahead.
I used to bet second in baseball, so I'll go second. But nothing else. I always go first in everything else.
Number, just to clarify, in case you all had any doubt.
Just to clarify, I don't follow anybody. Number five, San Andreas. I like that. I think I'll probably make like five.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. Number four, I'm going to go Dope.
Okay. So you only think it's bringing in like nine?
No, I'm going to go lower. I'm going to go about 7.5.
You think it's going to bring 7.5?
Dope, yeah, 7.5 million.
It has a nationwide release.
That's fine. People are still seeing it. People are going to go Inside Out in this other one.
Okay, Pitch Perfect 2 just made $6 million in 2,677 theaters on its, what, fifth, sixth week?
Mm-hmm. Who's the box office king around here?
I held the record for the most wins, by the way.
Yeah, that's true.
So the king is right here.
But I've done the most five for fives.
Okay.
Five. Okay. Watch me
Dope
just totally have to eat my
Dope
words next
seven,
week.
Possibly eight, depending on Jurassic World and Inside Out.
Mm-hmm.
Three is going to be Spy,
okay.
which I think will probably come in at nine, maybe even a little lower. I think that the separation between that and Dope is minuscule. Two, Inside Out. I think 60 is way low. I'm going to go with 80.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think you'll see Jurassic dip to about something where Avengers did around 92.
All right. So you're putting those really close then. You're
yes.
putting Inside Out and Jurassic World very close together.
Yes, correct. It's Pixar. You can't underestimate them. And it's doing the same thing on the tracking boards that Jurassic Park did. They're like, I don't know, it could make 100. It could make this. Nobody knows anything.
No one knows anything anymore.
Yeah.
All right.
Number one is Jurassic World. I agree with him. It's going to drop off in the 90s. Number two, I'm going to give the Inside Out. I think it's going to be closer to like 70 to 80.
Okay, I don't think
it's going to make close to 90. Number three, I will go Spy. I think because it's a comedy and it's rated R.
Are you stealing his list?
Pretty close, yeah. Because number four is Dope, and number five for me is San Andreas.
So we're same.
You
we're
have
same.
The same list, but
same
you're
list.
Different what? On your numbers a bit.
Yeah.
So that will be the tiebreaker for you.
I got 93 million Jurassic Park.
I'll say, also we're going for Jurassic Park, not Inside Out.
We could do Dope
let's,
if you want.
Let's do Inside Out because it's
okay,
the
yeah,
biggest
yeah, yeah.
new release.
Okay, you got it.
I am saying $70 million.
I'm saying I'm going to win. So
I'm going to go with 78.
You just said
80 to 90. Yeah,
okay,
I'm going to go with 78
okay.
now.
78, I'll
All
go
right.
with 70.
Yeah.
You
that
guys
sounds
can,
good.
We have our predictions are in from us. Let's hear one. Let's see if we have any callers.
I think we have one. Welcome to Boss Hogg's Breakdown. Who do we got?
Hi, this is Kristen from New Jersey.
Kristen from New Jersey. Quick question before you ask us a question.
This might be the first girl we've ever yeah. had on the show.
Have you seen
no.
Theodore Rex?
Sit down.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Have you seen Theodore Rex with Whoopi Goldberg?
No.
Okay, that's okay. all. That's I just wanted to get that out of the way.
You got to rush out and see that immediately. It's on DVD. It's on VHS.
Don't.
Okay, I will do.
That's horrible advice.
Really quickly, I was just going to say I just saw The Overnight a couple weeks ago, and
oh.
it's a very bizarre movie.
Yes, it's right up my alley then. Is it? So I'm right with like, didn't they have like a penis growing contest or something like that?
Something like that. Finstock, I think this is your movie. I could say it like Finstock. Just take out the overnight title, just put in Finstock. I think you just need to be added to this movie.
Yep. I love this girl already. I love this girl already.
Great.
So hey, you have a top five or you have a good question? What's up?
Can I get in my top five?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you'll be up to win something. I have a Book of Eli Blu-ray. If you win, you got to send your address and stuff like that to JTE.
Okay. So number one, I'm gonna go with Inside Out.
Okay.
I'm just taking a risk out there because I know like Jurassic World is kind of like family-ish, right? Too. So you know.
True.
So both movies could be sold out. So
okay.
Two, I'm gonna go with Jurassic Park. Jurassic World.
Don't worry, I'm the same.
Everybody's, yeah.
Number three, I'm gonna go with Spy.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, I'm gonna go with Dope.
Okay,
I like it.
And number five, I'm gonna go with San Andreas.
I think it's a great list.
That's actually a really good list. Where in Jersey are you calling from?
Morristown.
Oh wow! I don't live too far. I didn't live too far away from there.
I think your list is awesome. And I think you have a good chance of winning. It just takes that one switch.
It does. I mean, look, if you win, you get the Book of Eli Blu-ray. But I don't know if I'm glad someone out there is rooting for Inside Out over Jurassic World. That makes me happy.
Thanks
for the call.
Thank you so much.
Yes, have a good day.
Bye.
All right.
I think we have another one. Let's take another caller.
That was nice. We had a girl call.
You like that?
She was actually pretty smart.
Yeah, she's got a good shot at winning.
What do you mean, actually?
Well, you know, I don't know.
What do you mean, actually?
I don't know the intelligence level of people who watch our show.
That is not, I did not say that. That has nothing to do with your gender. That was just.
Yeah, no, that was just a sweeping generalization.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We got someone else on the line.
I'm the king of those.
Who we got?
Hey, this is Dylan.
Of course,
hey,
Dylan,
there he
man,
is.
The myth, the legend. What is going on, buddy?
Let me just say, Tom and JT, you two are geniuses, considering I have the same top five show.
Wow. Oh, there you go. There you go.
Oh, no offense, Sarah. I love you.
Yeah.
She's over here like, what?
I just got insulted from across the table, and now I get insulted over the phone.
Well, it's the good stuff.
You're doing a great job with the Facebook, by the way.
I won two times this week.
You have.
Just saying.
You're getting a lot better.
Gosh.
We're almost at 1,000 on the likes.
We're so close.
We're
like 50 something away.
That's not bad, man. We'll get it there.
If you're listening, go to our Facebook Box Office Breakdown. Give us a like. Let's hit 1,000.
Yeah. So, because Scott Mann said if we get to 1,000, he's going to run in the streets naked for like two straight days, like Forrest Gump.
He does that every
that
day, but he'll do it with a Box of Breakdown tattooed
on
him.
Hey, Dylan, do you have a question for us? Do you have a top five? What's going on?
Yeah, so the question, how many billionaires do you think come out of this year?
How many movies?
Furious 7, Age of Ultron, you're going to have Jurassic World.
Yep. You're gonna have.
You got Minions.
You got the Bond movie.
The Hunger Games.
You got Hunger Games. You got Star Wars. You got Creed.
Absolutely.
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four is not having a billion.
No way.
Will Terminator.
No.
Ant Man.
No way.
I don't think so.
I'm thinking more than we expect, though. I mean, I think we're already at least
Mission Impossible. Maybe.
What are
Mission
we saying?
Impossible. Possible.
At least.
Yes.
Six or seven?
I would probably say close to seven. Yeah,
I'd say seven or eight.
Inside Out, because Inside Out could surprise us and be a billion one too. Like,
I think $7 or $8 billion.
Yeah, I know there's another fall release I'm not thinking of besides Bond.
The question is, do we get a $2
billion?
There's also
like Everest coming out.
Which one?
Everest.
Yeah, that's not $1 billion.
No, that won't do that.
It's you gotta have that franchise potential.
Yeah,
it has to hit.
Who knows? It could come out of nowhere.
Like I said, the question is now $2 billion. Can Jurassic Park do $2 billion?
No.
Jurassic World.
Yeah. can Star Wars do $2 billion? Absolutely.
Yeah. Star Wars. I don't know.
I think out of the two, Star Wars is a better chance.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Avatar. It's like 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if anything can make $500 million more than that. Star Wars has a shot, don't get me wrong.
It's going
to
do two.
You're getting 2 billion, you have to have everyone see it, and everyone see it 3 times.
Are you kidding? These geeks are going to see Star Wars
25
times.
I'll see Star Wars probably 3 to 5
times. Christian Harloff said he's going to see it at least 15 times. Whether it's good or bad.
I'm going to try and see it once a week. For
that means $15, and he'll probably only pay for 10. Then he'll probably get like another person to pay for 5 of them. So he'll only pay for 5, but he will see it that many times.
I wonder how much...
Dylan, great question, by the way.
How much is the concessions making off these movies? Because we're just talking ticket prices.
Well, that's
my
that's...
ticket to see Jurassic World was $20.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I had to pay for parking. And then I had to sneak
soda,
in candy from the candy store.
Exactly.
From the candy store.
Yeah, sneak candy.
The vodka.
I mean, we might be in a popcorn crisis in this country. Well, there might not be enough to go around.
Well, that's where the theaters make their money. They don't make their money off the film. They make it off
the concessions. Yeah, they make it off the concessions.
No, the employees make it off the concessions.
And the theaters.
Yeah.
They sell popcorn for like $9.
Well, it's because the studios cost so much. Like the payout to studios
is ridiculous.
Insane.
That's why I boycott movies.
All right. Well, thank you, Dylan.
Thanks,
for
Dylan,
your
buddy.
Questions.
Great question,
you are
man.
Awesome.
Can we do one more?
I think we can take one more caller before we go, and then
we do one more.
All right, let's do one more.
JT,
I was just looking at the screen.
JT, I know you're
I'm
sick,
out of it.
But you have to just hang in there.
I'm in there.
I'm gonna have to rescue you, like you do the raccoon.
You guys, I think we have a caller on the line.
All right.
Is someone there?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, who we got?
Buddy. This is Leo from Maryland.
Hey, what's
Leo?
Up, Leo?
Leo DiCaprio?
Yeah,
Leo.
Is this Leonardo DiCaprio?
DiCaprio?
I told you not to call here anymore.
Yes, absolutely. I've been living in Maryland for a while.
Nice.
For part.
Shooting The Revenant, dating like Maryland models.
Absolutely.
Nice.
You're the best.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
What could you do for your day, Leo?
Yeah.
What's going on, Leo?
Can I get my top 5?
Yeah, man, sure.
Throw it in.
All right. I actually also have Inside Out at number 1.
Wow.
I think it could make possibly 100 million, maybe even more.
Things, you know what?
Guys, they're normally more right than we are.
That's true. I mean, look, this is very possible. Maybe everybody in the world's seen Jurassic World already, and they're like, no, screw it. We're going to go see Inside Out. You might be right, Leo.
All right, so number 1, Inside Out.
Yeah. I mean, there's... not enough people in the world to go see Jurassic World at this point. There's like...
Correct.
Everyone's seen it already.
Yeah, all 4 billion people in China have seen it already.
Yeah. Number 2, obviously Jurassic World.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That'll make like 80, 90, something like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Number 3, I think it'll be Dope, which will make around 10 million.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, Spy, around 8 million, and then 5, San Andreas.
All right.
That's another good one.
It's a good list, man.
Yeah.
Any one of our lists could win this thing.
I mean, look, it's all, in my opinion, it's where Dope lands. I just don't think Inside Out is going to beat Jurassic World. But, I mean, I could be wrong.
We all could be wrong on that, except for our callers who seem to be on.
It's very possible. What was the last time an animated film opened over 100 million, though? I can't remember one.
Despicable
Me. I remember Despicable Me 2 opened like close to 80 to 90.
Yeah, they do that.
But I can't remember. I just can't remember a Disney film or a Pixar film opening over 100 million.
Let's see opening.
No, thanks, Leo. Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah,
thank
man.
Thank you.
Tell Toby I said what's up.
Yeah, tell Toby Maguire and the models, you know, we said what's up.
He was great.
You guys,
great guy.
Yeah. The highest animated
opening
we have of just 2015 was SpongeBob at 55.
Yeah, because nothing's major came out that last year. I think Lego did like 70 or 80.
Yeah, but then it like crushed afterwards.
Yeah, well, that was because that was also no one knew.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get this before we wrap up.
Check this.
Let's
Despicable
see.
Me 2
opening
is
of
the last
Toy Story
one.
3, 110.
Oh, there you go.
This is not doing Toy Story.
Followed by Monsters University at 82. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Followed by Incredibles at 70.
Yeah.
Finding Nemo at 70. Mm-hmm. Up 68. Brave 66.
This is no toy. I mean, I think In-N-Out.
Well,
I mean, Inside Out is going to be great.
I know where his head's at.
I'm going
at.
To In-N-Out afterwards.
Yeah.
That
we were talking about
Jurassic Park
and In-N-Out.
I just. Toy Story 3, I'm not surprised by that. That thing is, that is Pixar. That movie is one of the most beloved franchises, I think, ever.
And Toy Story 3 is just a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, and if this is a sequel, then maybe, but for a first time...
The only thing I'm thinking, one, it's Pixar. Two, there hasn't been a legit animated movie since the one from DreamWorks, Little Home.
Yeah.
So you're talking almost 5 weeks without a real great animated children's movie opening. Yeah.
Especially for the parents who are like, we can't take our kids to Jurassic World because it's too violent, which I'm sure there are a ton out there.
Right.
You know what does have a chance in over 100 million is that damn Minions.
Oh, yeah.
Minions clean the hell up. Yep. Watch out.
All right. Yep. That's we'll another... have to save those predictions and those forecasts for later. We will be back next Monday for more box office numbers. Thank you so much for listening to Popcorn Talk. We love you tweeting at us, commenting. That's always awesome. Also, we mentioned it last week. I'm going to mention it to you again. Our listener survey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Podcast1.com. That's one spelled out, O-N-E.
Yeah.
If you just go on there, I think it just takes a couple minutes.
Yeah, it takes
you
a couple
let us
minutes.
Know what you like, what you don't like, what we can do better. We want to improve these shows so we can keep talking to you.
Yeah.
We
have to keep
the lights
on. We have to
keep
the lights on here.
Yeah.
You know, we're paid
Cute.
To do that.
Turn them off. No. Also, likes on Facebook. We are trying to get to 1,000, if not more.
That'd be nice.
And you guys, will you give them your Twitter so they can
find you? Catch me at SchmoesJTE, also on the Schmoes No Show. And I have my own podcast called JT Movie Things that comes out every Tuesday. Hit that up on iTunes. And I'll be announcing right now that me and Finstock will be doing a 30-episode podcast on the breakdown of Theodore Rex, the Whoopi Goldberg classic.
A 30 episode.
Yeah, 4 hours apiece.
4 hours apiece.
Yeah. I was going to go, is it a minute apiece? You guys talk for 1 minute and then you
it's gonna
release another minute and then another minute.
It's going to be 39 episodes, 4 hours long.
He said 30. You said 39. You need to get your story
We had
straight.
To up it. We had to up it
right. Just now. Theodore Rex. Yeah. I hope that starts trending.
Yeah, it should. At BobFinstock.
You guys, we are ending this show.
You can find me on Facebook. Ask me relationship questions. I'll answer them.
Thank you for watching.
Poof.
Whoopi Goldberg.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.